Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Podvincible, a podcast about Invincible. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete, just hanging out on the roof.
Uh-oh, you know what happens on
roofs. Yeah, we know what happens on roofs.
Okay, here we go.
People either have sex or have complicated conversations about the future of their lives and relationships.
Just a nuanced conversation while you're hanging on the side of a roof.
Why not both? We're going to be talking about episode 5. This was supposed to be easy, which is on Prime Video now. If you haven't checked it out, please do check it out because we're about to spoil it right now as part of this recap. In the episode, lots of stuff going on as usual, but the bulk of it is Mark and Eve are trying to figure out how they can afford moving in together. So they set up a company called Invincible Inc., where Invincible and Adam Eve, I guess, will be on retainer at prisons in case they have a breakout, a superpowered breakout. They can call them immediately and they help out. That's exactly what happens here as Titan, the crime boss who covers himself in rocks, who you may remember from earlier seasons and earlier this season as well, we checked in on him, is clashing with Mr. Liu and the Order, leading to a change in power in the criminal empires that rule the Invincible universe. There's a big dragon fight that happens at the prison.
Yeah, he turns into a dragon, they mentioned earlier.
Imagine dragon. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, you imagine dragons, exactly.
Imagine dragon,
something.
Nuts.
This is all sort of around Multipol, who is trying to get out of prison. And meanwhile, by the end of the episode, Mark and Eve come around to like, whoa, we got to cool things down, you know, a little bit. But not that much. You know, they're not cool.
Just a little bit.
It's pretty.
Yes. And meanwhile, in terms of like the Invincible news, we are checking in on Oliver, who has some cool skating friends now. Rex and Ray go on a late night date.
Oh, we follow up on the great will they make dinner plot. They do.
Best couple on the show.
And I'm sure there's other things I'm forgetting about. So why don't we jump into it as we always do to get this out of the way, otherwise people will be bursting at the seams. Let's talk romance. Let's talk Mark and Eve.
Cooling off.
I, for one,
seem so much happier this episode, Pete.
Because they took one cautious and wise step backwards, I think.
I think we all felt like the mom when she was like, oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. You guys, they're not moving in together. They're slowing things down. They're being smart about it. And let's not just jump
Here's
into
the thing I'll say. My parents, and this is true, my parents got married at that age. So I think they got to heat things up because they have to have
they got
to
make their Alex.
Their little
ASAP.
Alex.
The apple of their little eye. I, for one, find there's nothing more helpful to a relationship than entering the prison industrial complex as a separate contract.
I mean, can't get more romantic than that. I mean, come on.
I know I've been
they're a for-profit prison organization.
It's
is
crazy.
What Invincible, our hero is.
It's weird. And the whole thing, I don't know. I know it comes straight from the comics. Like, this is a plot line of the comics, and it's fine. And it felt like it was funny when it was in the comics. Obviously, we're many, many years past that, where I think as a society, we're much more aware of the cultural implications of for-profit prisons, as Justin is indicating.
Yeah.
But more so just on the relationship front, it continues to bother me that they're like, they seem to have skipped from being teenagers to being in their mid-30s on this show. At least they're not that. They're still supposed to be like 18, 19, whatever. But emotionally and the way they're playing the characters, they are well into their careers at this point.
I agree with you, especially when it felt so odd and discordant when they're having these like complicated conversations about their feelings and their moves. And Mark's like, I don't know how to set up an email. I was like,
what?
Set up an email?
What year is it where you are? That is crazy. I also think maybe they're trying to age up because the people doing the voices are a little bit older, so that making a match a little bit.
Sure, maybe. I think it's honestly, it's just the way that it was treated in the comic as well. So that's what they're doing. But again, I think this is the difference between reading the comic and hearing the people acting it with the voices getting more fleshed out in the dialogue, where it just feels, to use Justin's word, discordant. The email thing. What is going on with Mark? Because like we talked about a couple of episodes back, he doesn't know what the Declaration of Independence is. He doesn't know how to set up an email. There's a level of, I don't know, I'm going to say intelligence, to be kind, going on with Mark. Well, that
ignorance, you could say.
Yes.
He just feels very out of touch. And it makes a little bit of sense. And I guess maybe that did come from the comic, because he had to spend so much of his childhood and life fighting.
He went to school, though, right? Like, yes. We saw him in school, right? Like, what?
And his powers didn't even develop until he was should have known all of this stuff.
Yeah, like the Declaration, I remember they covered that when we were young. Like,
yeah, next episode, he's going to be like, so what is this clear stuff in the glass that I'm drinking? Water, you say? All right.
Ooh, where does this come
taste
from?
It doesn't taste like anything.
Okay. Is this like Gatorade, but clear?
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. Maybe it's a running joke that they have, but it's treated very seriously, and it definitely threw me as well. With them cooling down, do you think we're going to get more to teen stuff, or that's gone? We're past that.
To characterize this as them cooling down, I think, is an overstatement. They just decided not to move in together right away because
they said, we need to slow things down. We're going too fast.
Yes, I think part of that is...
You tell me, bro.
So it's over? It's over,
Pete. They're cooling down.
Part of that is the logistics of they don't even
know...
Hey,
that's almost let's break up. We need to slow down? Come on.
I mean, in some relationships, that is true. But in this relationship, they're literally... everything was progressing like a runaway tractor trailer going down a mountain. And they were like, you know what? Let's wait a second and figure out how money works... so we can rent an apartment that we will then eventually move into.
The other thing, like, I understand what you're saying, Justin, but the flip side is they're in their mid-40s now. They are running out of time to start a family. So, like,
yeah, Mark's getting a colonoscopy next episode. Yes. It's about time.
Yeah, hopefully
you got to do it, yeah. Justin.
Just hopefully he'll get some of that all that reanimate
Justin,
out of his body, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and you guys have had colonoscopies, right?
That's right.
I mean, yes.
I'm the young one. Just reiterating.
You gotta do it, Justin.
There's
you
only one of us who's not at the age where the doctor's like, it's time.
Yeah.
And that's you. That's your boy, JT.
Yeah, and I will say, in all seriousness, for everybody listening to this podcast who is of age, go get a colonoscopy.
Yeah, it's life-saving.
It's legitimately important.
Yeah.
Agreed. Love that we got here. I love that we got here. It's really good. Anyway, back to Multipol's disgusting blood
opening.
Burst.
Oh, that was so gross, dude. Like, watching that happen was such a gross way to start the episode. I was like, oh, man.
The jail needs a colonoscopy.
Can we cut away to anybody? I'd rather watch Oliver build blocks than do this. Like, please.
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm still stuck on that. You have people being like, well, I started tuning into this podcast because I like the TV show Invincible, but I stay because I like the earnest medical advice.
Yes. Oh, and we should have a little medical corner every episode because we've got a lot to dispense.
100%. Didn't we talk about Pete's bifocals the last episode?
That was definitely a couple back. But
okay,
yes.
Great. And just to continue to check, just like he check on what's going on here, we've been criticizing Invincible and Eve because they've been acting too old, right?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Cool. Yeah, the multi-pole thing was pretty gross. How did you feel about that, Justin? Because you were pretty upset with Invincible tearing them apart in the previous episode, but here Multipol seems fine with killing his own dupes.
Yeah, I'm not mad about the multiples being killed. I think it's a little bit hypocritical, Invincible's understanding of killing when he was just wrecking Multipol. Though I will say, Multipol doesn't seem to give a shit about all of his corpse brothers that he keeps blowing out of his prison cell. That was a cold open. That, I liked it.
I disagree.
I will say, do you think the order, very ego-driven, prideful gangsters, are comfortable saying the word multi-Paul over and over again as their fearsome assassin?
I mean, yes, given one of them turns into a dragon, and by the end of the episode, we get to see the order, which seems to be, like, less underworld crime bosses and more supervillain team.
How dare you besmirch slaying Mantis?
I
did appreciate the bit of, like, setting up the dragon risen, like, he really does turn into a dragon, like, a couple of times before we actually got to see it. So I liked the rev up to that. I thought that was fun.
Yeah, I actually, in terms of this plot line, and we should talk about it thematically in a second, but just on pure plot level, I did like the machinations that were going on there with Titan, with Isotope. His second-in-command, Machine Head, is a very fun, ridiculous character as well. All of that back and forth, and ultimately the way that Titan manipulates the situation so that he can step out of the order and keep his life and keep his daughter safe, I thought was pretty neat.
That was very impressive.
Yeah. On the flip side, though, let's talk about thematically, because we have been discussing this the past couple of episodes. Again, this is trying to push Invincible into accepting that the world is shades of gray and get him to work for criminals and do what is, quote unquote, the bad thing instead of the right thing and challenging his morality. How do you feel it worked in this episode versus previous episodes?
I mean, same thing. He has the opportunity. Titan goes to him and is like, hey, I've done good. I know I committed crimes, but I've done good in this city. And Invincible's like, I got to take you to jail, doing the sort of simple thing without thinking about it. Titan proves he's way...
Plays him like a fiddle.
Very well done the sequence there, I thought.
Yeah.
And then the issue I have, and I was sort of talking about this last episode, is the show doesn't let us reckon with this, and Mark is just not touching it. He's becoming like a simpleton when it comes to the morality that he's dealing with. Everything that's happening to him, everyone on the other side of his argument is like, actually, the world's more complicated. He's like, uh-huh, go to jail. I hate you. Like, he's just like so childlike. And maybe it's purposeful, and maybe it's something like, I don't know how to set up an email. This is all an intentional idea, and maybe that's we're building toward a breaking point, and maybe a time dash at the end of this season where he is going to actually become an adult.
Well,
and it's about him really going through that transition this season.
I got to say, I think it would be a mistake to time dash. I want to see him learning about email. You know what I mean? Like, let's not fast forward that. Like, let's really sit him down and be like, this is Gmail and this is how this works.
Oh, you think he's got to start with Gmail? I think he's got to go all the way back to the beginning, sign up for
AOL?
CompuServe, Prodigy Bulletin Board, something like that.
So then you really give him the full education.
Yeah, totally. Then AOL CDs that he can get, just like a big stack of them. And then
how do you know you get mail and thus you hear that?
Does he got to do dial-up before he can do...
Mm-hmm. Wow. Machine Head could probably help him with that. I'm sure he has like a 56.6K somewhere.
Look at you dropping some...
Stop nutflexing all over us.
That's not
a nutflex. That's a reverse... That's an old flex. That's a flex where, like in old cartoons, when it goes...
And by the way, if you got that reference, just a reminder, please sign up for a colonoscopy.
That's actually a funny campaign for colonoscopies.
I'll talk to my doctor.
That's how medical
next time,
works.
Right as they're about to put me under, I'm like, I got a good idea for a campaign.
Yeah.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh,
I really want Machine Head to fix the broken little nozzle coming out of the top of his head.
It was driving me nuts.
He did. By the end of the episode, he got all cleaned up, and he's good. Do you think, though, that this means anything for the world? This gets into the greater discussion we were talking about in terms of, like, levels of threats to Mark. Now that Machine Head is in charge of the Order, is that bad for him?
Yeah, but by the after credits, it's clear he's no longer going to be in charge because... Mr. Liu is back, so...
A couple things there. So, the bodyguard fell from, like, a mile up,
right,
landed on the top of a building, broke his arm.
But his power is he can turn into Nerf just before he hits things, so he's cool.
Nerf. Yeah. He's like a Titan is Rock. He's Nerf.
He's Nerf. Yep.
Nerf beats Nerf Rock. For nothing. Mm-hmm. Every time.
And then Mr. Liu, he gets re-dragoned.
Yeah, he just got re-dragoned him. That's a problem.
No hole in his head from the gunshot that killed him.
Mm-hmm.
That was strange.
Magic. It's magic.
Once you get re-dragoned, you know.
Then why does he have a metal jaw? Where's the magic jaw? I wanted a metal bullet, metal.
Oh, yeah, the metal of the match. You want to become slowly into Machine Head?
I wanted something because I was like, this felt strangely just like nothing happened in this episode and this is just a separate thing.
Yeah, I don't know. It's sort of roadblocks for Invincible more than anything, as it feels like. Like, the dragon fight obviously was very big. And like we've been talking about, they got to amp up the threats because Mark is so much stronger this season. So you do have this unstoppable immortal dragon. But it still feels like he's just kind of stuck in the middle. Like, if they amp up the storyline in any way, if it is the Order versus Mr. Liu, Machine Head versus Mr. Liu, round 2, 3, whatever it is, I don't know. Invincible's just kind of in the middle of this fight, and it's not, as far as I can tell, saying much about him, but I guess we'll see.
I don't think we're going to revisit these characters again this season or maybe ever.
Whoa. Really? No, I disagree. Dude. That's not how this show works. That's not how the comic works.
How Invincible works is set up a million things, touch the ones you want to down the line.
Sure.
But like this story felt that the Titan getting out felt like a very satisfying end to this whole thing. That's why the post-credit thing of bringing back the dragon, I was like, really? Okay, sure.
All right, fair enough. Let's talk about the other relationship in the episode, Shrinking Ray and Rexplode.
That's why we're all here.
Following on the fact they don't have normal lives and don't know how to cook food, he has learned to cook food. Takes a really long time, so he wakes her up in the middle of the night for dinner. Pete, that's kind of your dream scenario, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've all done it.
Surprise meal?
In the middle of the night?
Oh, yeah. Someone wake me up to feed me? That's the greatest thing you can do.
I believe Taco Bell once called it fourth meal. You would love to have that come back to you.
Oh, I'm the only guy who's eating at Taco Bell here? Okay, sure, whatever. Yeah, I just think that it was adorable. And they were holding hands, and it was just a lovely time. And, you know, Rex can change. He can grow. You know what I mean? So I'm excited for this, the couple moving forward. You know what I mean?
Power couple.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, this must be about Rex growing up. To what end, though? Is it going to be that Rex is sort of maturing faster than Invincible, and he's going to tell Mark or somehow teach Mark that he needs to grow up? Maybe. Maybe that's the point of this, because I don't understand.
I think it's just going to be a crazy bit in the show. Like, we spent all this beautiful time with them, and then Rex is going to get his head ripped off. And you know,
I was going to say, there's not much of bit going on in those scenes. They're like earnest, like indie film type scenes.
Well, I think
of
the thing
couple
looming over it, given the way that Shrinking Ray talks, she's about to join the Teamsters Union again. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. She's probably going to leave.
Or she's going to go work at that cool prison right down the road that everybody loves.
For sure.
Teens love working at the prison. The show's trying to make us think.
So the scene last episode with them, even though it went on for a very long time, like we talked about.
Beautiful amount of time.
At least it tied into the overall superhero plot of the show, where it was like, we're trying to have a normal life at a supermarket, and there's supervillain attacks outside, and we can't do it.
Yes.
This one was like, we are two people having a meal in the middle of the night, period. And they talk about what it means to be normal, and they get a bit of normalcy, but it's just this like check-in that doesn't seem to tie into the theme of the episode, whatever that is, the idea of the show, etc. What are you doing? You're conducting a little orchestra.
I'm very upset at you. How dare you? First off,
oh, that was two fingers.
Ray was two no-nos. Pete gave the controversial double
one
no-no.
And this is very upset as two no-nos.
Ray talked about how all she wanted to do was make dinner, but because they're superhero, their lives were interrupted. And Rex, a good partner listening, is like, oh, my gosh, I want to do that for you. I want to give you this nice thing. And it was a nice payoff of an idea of like them maybe being able to work together.
So you're reiterating the stuff we already talked about and saying that is worth it? That yes, is enough.
It is enough.
No, I understand the plot and I understand the emotional thrust of it. What I'm saying is if you're doing a superhero show, there needs to be some sort of tie in there. Like, I'll give you an example. This is, I know it's not good criticism to talk about like writing it in a different way, but if Rex had used a little bit of his Rexplode powers to try to heat up the steak or something like that, at the very least would be like, yeah, I tried that the first time and it didn't work. Or I tried that, or I didn't want to use that because I wanted to give you a normal meal. Like some sort of tie back rather than, it took me a while to make dinner and now we're having dinner and wasn't that a nice dinner and now we're holding hands. Done.
Well, also, let me say,
just have nice things?
In a show where the main hero is fighting an invincible magic dragon over a prison while his partner is making stone walls out of nothing to control a multiplicity villain, them having a mildly late dinner is not that weird. It's not that crazy that they're eating at like 9:30 or
also,
whatever.
I love the scene where Invincible's worried that Oliver ran away. They're hiding in a tree and they just watch their, Oliver pants some bullies.
Let's talk about that.
I think that's fun.
That is exactly what I'm talking about in terms of how.
I know, that's why I brought it up.
Right, in how this show should work versus that other scene, because that does tie into the overall plot of, oh no, we're worried about Oliver killing people, we're worried about Oliver being purple and going outside, we're worried about Oliver showing off his powers and using them responsibly, and relatively speaking, at least, that's exactly what happens here. So we do get a very human, relatively normal scene that does work in the overall plot, a little bit of superpowers. And I think it stands in direct contrast to the Shrinking Ray Rexplode scene, which doesn't do any of that.
And I agree with you. And I think also that played into their relationship story. The reason that Mark feels like he needs to stay at his mom's is because they need to watch Olive a little bit more. Debbie's happy that they're staying. The I know you're having sex. The
sex
under
talk
the table a bit.
Well, that was funny.
Like, all of that felt of a piece in a way, like you're saying, Alex, that I thought really worked.
And all I'm saying is, there are certain things that we know from the comics that they're playing with certain characters. And it doesn't make sense now, but in the longer story, it will. So whatever they're setting up, instead of just being like, well, this doesn't work right here, have a little patience because there's a bigger story they're trying to tell.
Yes. You know what? I hear you, Pete, and you're right. We will no longer critically talk about aspects of this TV show.
Well,
oh, thank you.
I think Pete's dream.
Pete's dream is to sit here and literally just read down the notes of what happened to the plot with no criticism and then wrap it up.
No, my dream is to just talk about things that are cool in no order or any kind of thing and just be like, this was cool and this was cool was cool.
You've almost achieved your dream on every podcast that we do, so congratulations.
Thank you.
I agree
Pete
with you.
Saw
Pete
saw the Chris Farley show on SNL and was like, this is what a podcast is, right?
That's how
right.
I want all my news.
Yeah.
My hard news. I agree with you, Pete. That would be important if the name of this show was Rexplode. But Rex is like, I don't know what his role in the show is. He's like not even really Mark's friend. He's sort of his former rival and
I think smartly
teammate.
The show is like, this Rexplode guy is a great character. Maybe we just push Invincible down all the way.
Again,
and then
that's
up
the Jason Mantzoukas effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Do you think Rexplode knows how to sign up for an email? Because I'm going to say no on that, too.
Well, he made dinner. I mean, I don't think I've seen Mark do that. So,
okay. Do you think somebody emailed dinner recipes to him?
No, I'm just saying he can do things.
Oh, okay.
Man,
Mark's like,
he knows how to use the
computer.
Yeah, that's true.
Their lack of email is a huge vulnerability for the team.
100%. Do you think Invincible is getting like a lot of emails about the Viltrumite threat and he's just not, he doesn't know how to read them? He's going to find
bro,
a stack
Alan
of
here, just checking in. I'm with your dad. 48 Viltrumites left. Big problem coming. Hit me back.
Meanwhile, he's just like, Wait, can I plug this in while the fax machine is going, or how does this work?
Wow, fax machine.
Two quick things that I wanted to say about the Oliver scene. One, the shot of Mark and Eve in the tree, not K-I-S-S-I-N-G, was very funny. I love them cutting there, just sort of like peeking out of the bushes. And then the other thing, this is a outside thing, but the two skater friends of Oliver were played by Abigail Kirkman, who is Robert Kirkman's daughter. And I'm forgetting the name of the kid, but the boy skater was the son of Chris Diamantopoulos, who does a bunch of different voices on the show. He didn't do Machine Head. Machine Head is Burn Notice guy.
Yes, Burn Notice guy. And his voice, Jeffrey Donovan, I was just looking it up because I was like, that voice is strange to me on Machine Head. It plays as a joke, I feel like, mostly.
Yeah.
But while we're talking voices, I did want to shout out, I think Steven Yeun's work on this show is just so good. The way he injects so much character into everyday conversations that Invincible's having. Very good.
Yeah, he really feels like when you know an actor and know their work, you can kind of sometimes hear it a little bit. But man, he disappears into Mark and Invincible, and it's just impressive.
One thing we didn't talk about towards the beginning of the episode is we do get Duplicate visiting Multipol in prison, and we get their origin story, which I thought was interesting, complete with their dad, I guess, just not being able to deal with the multiple kids at all. Was
overwhelming.
That overwhelming?
Yeah, man, come on, dude. As a parent, you got to respect that.
100%. If I had duplicating kids, I would also sit there drooling in my lazy chair the entire time.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that's, yeah, anybody would be in that situation would be turned into that.
Mm-hmm. And also, while I'm looking through notes here, I thought the breakfast scene was pretty funny with Eve coming down and being like,
oh, the full fly around and that.
Yeah, the fly around and Oliver and Mark just repeatedly kicking each other in the legs under the table. Very cute. Busted. Fun stuff. Yeah.
Busted so hard. Again, Mark not showing off a lot of intelligence in this episode.
Yeah, he, again, like, maybe it's the difference between Eve and Mark, right? You know, if I'm trying to understand where they're coming from the show. Mark is still a kid. Like, he's trying to be treated like an adult, but he doesn't know email. He doesn't, you know, is essentially mentally the same age as a younger brother who is aging up. Versus Eve, who's been living on her own for a while, really does think ahead in terms of taking architecture classes and everything else, comes up with the idea for Invincible Inc. She is the one who is really growing up, and Mark is taking a much longer time to get there.
Well, even down to the way they handle, or Mark handles, like, he and Eve having sex, and it's like, Debbie knows from the jump. Like, the way that he's just, like, trying to continue to hide it is just, like, it puts him out of touch even more so, I think.
Any other notes from the episode before we start to wrap up here? Yes. Okay.
Their fight sequence in the prison was fun. Like, they were doing combo moves together. Mm-hmm. That was nice
to see.
Did they
work those out beforehand, you think?
You have to think so, right? I mean, that double punch move
Do you think
pretty,
that's like mid-sex?
And then they're like, yeah, while they're doing, they're probably talking about it. They're like, you could swing me around, you know, and then it could be like.
Do you mean right now, or do you mean like when we're fighting a dragon?
No, when we're fighting, obviously.
Because you guys have dated in the comedy world. Like, you're always just doing bits.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
So same for superheroes.
Yeah, I always try to hit three beats and then sweep before it, you know.
We're run out of gas. The rare improv. Alex with the rare improv.
Wow, sick ref, bro.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. It was funny.
Sweep at call, it on this sex.
Call me Harold.
Yeah, I do think the fact that Mark like sped up cleaning.
Wait, no, hold on, I have a better one. Oh, I'm Del Close.
That's good. That's harder for the normies out there.
Yeah. Anyways, I did think it was funny when the mom tried to have the sex talk and he just really quickly cleaned up and ran upstairs. I thought that was a real fun moment.
Yeah. All right. Why don't we wrap up talking about our Invincible moment of the episode? Pete, what was your Invincible moment of the episode?
I mean, obviously I want to talk about the cooling relationship, but I'm going to talk about the fact that Oliver is growing faster than Mark. Mm-hmm. The pants move was not only hilarious, bring pantsing back is what I like to say, but I think the fact that he's maturing faster than we think and growing faster than we think is going to be a real problem sooner rather than later.
It's interesting you're saying the pantsing is a sign of growth.
Yeah. Great. Because we were all expecting, like, is he going to murder these bullies? Yes. Is he just going to punch through them?
Well, let me say,
the pants move is A, hilarious, and B, mature.
I think I can't tell if my invincible moment is the same as yours, Pete, or the opposite. But like the fact that he did pants those guys and probably did know in that moment that Mark and Eve were watching makes me think now they trust him more and they're going to take their eyes off him a little bit and he is going to continue on the hardcore path that is in direct opposition to Mark's morality and be like, I'll do what I need to do when I need to do it. So I think
Not fooled by the pants move. You feel like, oh, teacher's watching.
Exactly.
I know what to do here so they don't worry about me, but secretly I'm evil.
Well, I don't think he's evil, but I think he's like...
That's what you implied, my friend.
Not evil. I'm just saying I said he has a different moral set than Mark, and that's going to put them into direct opposition.
A moral,
I
mean, evil moral set where he's cool with punching through people.
Oh, sorry. I guess I'm talking to Mark Grayson, Invincible, right now, where it's like, you know what? There is a more complicated morality out there, Mark, and maybe you need to grow up and see it. But I do think this, my take was set up specifically when in the funny breakfast scene when he's like, he's aware of what Eve and Invincible are doing that whole time. So I think that will be proven true in that scene as well.
I agree with you guys on the Oliver thing. I think that is a key one. But to throw out one more multi-Paul, maybe question mark escapes at the end of the episode.
And oh, he does.
Such a focus of this season in a way, like he has shown up almost every episode, started off the season pretty much, obviously is key here. We still have a couple of episodes to go, but like the order is very focused on him. So I don't know, to your point, Justin, that you made earlier, I'm not sure how much we're going to see this plot line again this season, but if they are going to structure it as a season, I'd expect we'll see some sort of resolution in terms of like why Multi-Paul is so key to the order and key to this overall plot. So curious to see where that goes, if at all.
He's an unkillable assassin. You know what I mean? If one of his things doesn't do it, he just makes another one. And, you know, so
it might
super
be that
important in an assassin role. Have a disposable.
If anything, maybe Multi-Paul is tasked with killing Invincible, and that's who Mark kills. Maybe Mark will finally kill him. He's clearly comfortable killing the clones of him.
That's going to be a lot of killing if you have to kill Multi-Paul.
Yeah. Do you think this show would ever do that? Would ever show something like that?
I hope not. Oof. I hope not.
Yeah. Never. Well, why don't we wrap up here? If you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub for ad-free versions of this podcast, Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, don't forget to get a colonoscopy if you're over 45.
And visit the dermatologist while you're at it. Once a year, guys. Come on. That sun's beating down.
Really? Check those moles. Check those moles.
Man,
you gotta measure your moles.
Dermatologist too.
Yeah. Stay tuned later on in the podcast. We'll be talking about all of our doctorly advice and
And we have live footage of a inch by inch breakdown of Pete's skin to make sure that all those moles are looking good.
It's a horrible idea.
Inch by inch, folks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.